Scripture reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. Acts chapter 9, 36 through 38. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us."
Thank you, Wayne. Good morning, everyone. Please have your Bibles open to where he just read from Acts chapter 9. If you are using one of our pew Bibles, that's on page 918. It is good to be together today. I said this last week. I've said this to a few other people. I might have said this in the email. I always enjoy preaching, but preparing for the lessons this month have especially been fun for me. Preparation is always some work, but some days it's more fun than others. In this series that we're doing for the month of January, as we kick off 2020 and our theme for this year of show and tell, over the next few weeks especially, the preparation for the sermon is less about me, and it's about really a lot of you all, a lot of our members, and things that have been taking place among us, things that are already going on. And as we get towards the end of the month, we're going to be talking about some other things that we envision and ways in which we want to challenge ourselves to grow in the ways in which we reach this community and the world on a greater level. I was thinking about that song, Mighty to Save. I appreciate Russ leading it, but it had that one line in it, "Shine your light and let the whole world see." The Lord shines His light in His own way without us, but He also uses us to let His light shine into the world. And there are so many things among us that sometimes, to be blunt, we just sort of, and I'm speaking for myself here, I just sort of take for granted, and sometimes it might be things that have been taking place for so long, I subconsciously think, well, we really don't need to make much about that or say anything about it, and you know, this is just part of who we are. And then I realized, you know, there might be some among us who don't know about some of these things. And there might be others who have forgotten. All these things have been taking place among our church for years and years, and now some of these things for decades. And there are ways in which we work together as a church through programs and ministries. There are things that we do privately as individuals. There are things that we go about in our daily lives and do and demonstrate the Lord's work and the Lord's light in our lives that maybe we ourselves who are doing them, we take for granted. And so as we think about showing and telling and how we go about living our faith in bolder, more visible, and more audible ways beyond these walls and into this community and into the world, I think it's also important to step back and say, you know, there's a lot of good things that are already going on among us. Today, we're going to start in Acts chapter 9 where Wayne read for us. And Acts 9 really tells one of the most remarkable moments in the early years of the church, in the early years of Christianity, because it records the first time in the New Testament, the first time after Jesus' resurrection, that somebody other than Jesus brought another person back from the dead. The Apostle Peter is the person who performs this miracle, and the woman he resurrects, her name was Tabitha, or Dorcas, as we read in that passage. Prior to her resurrection, and we'll get to that part of the story in just a moment, but prior to her resurrection, you can imagine the scene, especially those of you who might be a little bit older in past times, an experience that was more common in this country, and especially in this part of the country, when you lost a loved one, was to have a wake, to have the body lying in repose, usually in the family residence. And from what I understand, sometimes for many days. I'm familiar with the practices in New Zealand, and that's still a rather common practice among a lot of people in New Zealand. And when Caroline's dad passed away. His body was in the family home for several days, and it was a first-time experience for me, but it also was very special to the family and friends and loved ones, because you even though you knew spiritually that their soul, that who they really are, was no longer present, having that body present, there was something comforting about that, and allowed for the family and friends to gather and share recollections. That's exactly what happens here in Acts chapter 9 after Tabitha's passing. One of the things that Wayne read for us in verse 36 was, she was a woman full of good works and acts of charity. And if you were to ever have just a statement or commentary made on your life, or something etched on your tombstone, just that simple statement, that this was a person who was full of good works and acts of charity, that itself is a beautiful and wonderful testimony. The body has been washed and his people gathered, and as the story continues, they share memories of Tabitha and what she meant to them. And there's this touching detail as we pick up with verse 39. Verse 39 says, "So Peter rose and went with them. When he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them." Now, as we think about our theme this year of show and tell, sometimes the best way to tell somebody's life story is to show what they've done with it. And for Tabitha or Dorcas, one of her living testimonies of her life and the way that she used her life for good were these tunics and these garments that she had made. And my understanding, that word for tunic there, that it was in many ways one of the simplest garments that a person would wear. It was really your innermost garment with first century clothing. And I have a feeling that if you would have asked Tabitha during her lifetime about these things that she made for others, she would have said what we often say about good works and good deeds we do. I have a feeling she might have said, "Well, that's no big thing. You know, I'm just using the talents and skills that God's given me. I'm just doing things that I enjoy doing for people that I appreciate and love. And you know, it's really not a big deal." But let me ask you this. As her body laid there in the upper room of that house, do you think those tunics and garments were a big deal to those who were weeping over her? They certainly were. I think sometimes we make too little of acts of charity and good deeds that we do because we think, well, that's nothing big. And sometimes we imagine in our minds that to do something really big or significant, it has to get a whole lot of attention. These days it has to go viral on the internet. It's got to get the attention of the local press, or all kinds of people have to be talking about it, or it has to be some sort of multi-million-dollar effort. Well, if we believe in a God who works through both things big and small, then we appreciate and realize that sometimes it's in the small, everyday things that God's light is manifested through us. And we live in an era which some people think, well, if I can't do something big, I shouldn't do anything at all. Well, I dare say that the collection of all the little things that we do far outweighs the few big things that take place throughout the world. And so beginning today and over the next several weeks, we want to highlight the big impact of everyday actions and the big influence of even the smallest of deeds when they're done in faith. Sometimes these things take place behind the scenes, but you never realize the good and the impact and the impression that it has made upon others. And in many ways, only God knows the full influence of these deeds. But I'm going to do my best over the next few weeks to highlight some of them that take place among us. And by the way, you might want to make sure you don't miss the next few weeks, because I just might preach about you. But I promise you this, it will be good. So, Mike, you don't have to be nervous this time. I want to begin today with a work among us that if Tabitha were alive today, she would most likely be a part of it. And just as the people who mourned over her brought out the tunics and garments she made, I brought one example, and that's our pillow ministry. Our pillow ministry is one of the things that take place behind the scenes that I'm afraid that maybe some people don't know about it, and those of us who do know about it just sort of take it for granted because of how long it's now been going on and how much good it accomplishes. The pillow ministry is overseen by Jackie Frazier, and in addition to Jackie, Cindy Bullock, Trish Helton, Pat Kinder, Janice Mitchell, and Martha Ross. They are our primary workers who sew and stuff pillows. Jim Glenn and Janice Mitchell deliver them to the local hospital patients twice a month, usually on Mondays. Over the past year, more than 1,700 pillows were made and delivered. Now think about that, 1,700 pillows. I'm not actively involved in the ministry, and you know, I sometimes, this is one of those things I take for granted, I sometimes get to be the one who gets the most direct blessing through other people's good works, because there have been times where I will go into the hospital and I'll visit somebody and somebody will say, "I got a pillow." And you can tell that there's just so much joy and so much comfort. And if you or a loved one have ever been in a hospital, especially for an extended period of time, sometimes the smallest acts of grace and kindness go the longest ways, because you lose track of time. Day after day just sort of runs together. For some people, you don't know what the end result might be. But these patients find out there are a group of people who love and care about them that they've never met before. And it's a tremendous blessing to them, but let me say this, it's also a blessing to those who are participants in that ministry. One of those people is Janice Mitchell. On the next screen, I have a quote from Janice. I asked her to share her insights based on her experience. Janice says, "I enjoy sewing the pillows because it is something I can do anytime and at my convenience. But the real blessing comes when handing out the pillows. It is so great to see a patient's face light up when you offer them a choice of colors or design. I have found it to be a rewarding experience." And I appreciate Janice for letting me use her. And all those of you who are part of this ministry, and I didn't ask Jackie this, but I'm sure that she and the others would welcome as many others to be a part of this ministry that can and would like to. And I also know that you don't have to be an expert at sewing to be a part of that ministry. I also want to share one other thing. And again, this is one of those things we just sort of take for granted. On a fairly regular basis, we will receive cards or emails here at the church, and we do our best in the office to post those on the card bulletin board in the hallway where people take the time to thank us. Sometimes it is the patient themselves who thank us for the pillow, and they say, "Keep going. I want you to keep doing this." And I'll even say this, occasionally we even get donations from people who have been so touched by the ministry that even though they're not a part of our church, they say, you know, "Thank you so much, and here's some money to keep this work going." And sometimes it's from the family. And one of the ones that we recently received, I won't give the woman's name, but it says, "The family acknowledges with deep appreciation your kindness, your kind expression of sympathy." This particular woman passed away. And the family writes, "Thank you, church, for the pillow given at the hospital. It was such a sweet gesture. Keep doing the Lord's work." And again, I'm sure if you asked Jackie or Janice or any of the others who are part of this ministry, they'd say, "Well, you know, this is just a simple thing. It's no big deal." It's a big deal. And God bless you all for doing it. The next thing we're going to talk about is the prayer group. The prayer group takes place every Tuesday here at the building at 10 a.m. And again, if you're free on Tuesdays at 10 a.m., we welcome anyone and everyone to be a part of this important work. It's a great way for our people to be together to encourage each other. We have a good time together. We cut up and laugh. We make fun of Jerry Johnson. Usually he's present. Sometimes he's not. But we have a good time together. And what we do when we're together is we go through, you know, we've gone through our prayer list here this morning, but in greater detail we go through the Family Matters list and usually a lot of other names as well. And we pray for and over these people and their situations, and we write them a card. Now again, sometimes we think, oh, you know, prayer, it's no big deal. I would say prayer is a big deal. Prayer is a big deal to God. And prayer is especially a big deal to you if you're in a situation, whether it's physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, to know that there are a group of people in Morristown, Tennessee, and sometimes we send cards to people far away from Morristown, but to know that there are a group of people who gather regularly to pray over you and your situation. It leaves a great impact on people's lives. And again, we often receive cards and updates. Sometimes people who've gotten better say, thank you, prayer works. You know, praise God for seeing me through this situation. Sometimes people just thanking us for their encouragement. And especially, let me highlight this one. Sometimes people among us, connected to us, and sometimes, again, in distant places, who we might call shut-ins, to know that people haven't forgotten about you. You know, I can't tell you the number of times over the years I've especially gone to a resident in a nursing home who regularly receives cards from the prayer group. And sometimes the room of their residence in their nursing home, it's wallpapered with cards from our prayer group. And in some situations, you come to realize some of these people hardly hear a word from anybody else, maybe even their families. But they know they can expect a card from the prayer group on a regular basis. One of the people we've prayed for quite a bit recently is Rhoda Cooper's cousin, Valley Knight. She recently sent this card. It just says, to all of you who are in the prayer group, thank you so much. First, she says, for the gift card, we did some things to help her out. They did some things to help her out. And also for your prayers. Your prayers have meant so much to me. Now, Rhoda knows her cousin. I don't know if anybody else in here has ever met Valley. And we might not ever meet her face to face. But she's obviously been touched by the fact that there are people thinking about her and praying for her on a regular basis. The next thing I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, because last week Tim gave an update, but if you weren't here last week, I do want to highlight our ongoing jail ministry. That when you think about it, you know, time is one of those things that you lose track of. But our jail ministry seems like such a big part of what's going on here, but it's only been among us for, it is a big part of what's going on here, but it's only been with us for really half a year. In a little over 6 months' time, we have now established 531 contacts within 13 correctional facilities across 7 states. Let me also say, some of the contacts aren't just people in correctional facilities, because the way that the ministry works is you, as a student, can request for a study to be sent to somebody else, and sometimes students who are incarcerated will say, you know, I'd really like for you to send a Bible study to my mom back home, or my brother, or my sister, or my friend. And so we call it the jail ministry, but now it reaches beyond just those within correctional facilities. And also we've consolidated that ministry with the correspondence ministry that Larry Capshaw has overseen for years. But 531 contacts, 13 facilities, 7 states. So far, 128 students have completed at least one lesson. 43, Tim told us this last week, 43 have already received a Bible. You receive a Bible after completing the first 5 lessons. And to know that we're having that kind of reach on others, many of them locally, many of them in many other places, and as hopefully all of us know by now, we've had 2 baptisms so far. Let me say this. We requested at that time prayers to help us get into the jail for those 2 baptisms to take place. We have right now 8 more who've requested baptism, and I'm going to ask you all to be praying about that, because we need to make some inroads again to help us have regular access to make that possible. But if this is what God has done with this ministry in just 6 months, only He knows where we might be 6 months, 5 years, 10 years from now. And certainly we need as many of us working together on that, and we will certainly need more hands on deck as that ministry keeps growing. So please see Tim about that if you have interest. The next thing I want to highlight is not a ministry that directly flows through us or that we oversee, but I thought it's worth mentioning because there are things even outside of our individual church that you can participate in. And one of the things that Russ Mitchell has taken advantage of since 2018 is World English Institute. I'm going to read some things that Russ wrote, and part of the quote will be, the first thing let me just highlight are some statistics. Russ says that since 2018 he has had 258 students. He currently has 31 active students, and get this, Russ services about 11 students per day. He says, I have students from all over the world. I'm going to add something to that. You know, we watch the news and we pray about and we talk about things going on throughout the world that we're really concerned over, and we should be. In countries that you hear about, where things are going on, are places like Iran and China and Venezuela, and by the way, a lot of other countries in the Middle East and parts of Africa. Well, I specifically mentioned Iran and China and Venezuela. I could mention many others as well, because Russ Mitchell has students in those countries. That's never going to make the world news. But I believe by faith that what Russ Mitchell is doing on behalf of the Lord is more significant than what you see on the news. Because even if we were to ever, even if the most brilliant and smartest politicians among us, even if they were to bring peace to the Middle East, that temporary peace is nothing without the gospel. And Russ, in spite of the fact that there is not peace in these places, is taking the gospel to these people. And while some of these people might be hearing among their news sources and outlets that those of us who live in the West don't care about them, they know that there's a man in Morristown, Tennessee, who loves their soul so much he wants to tell them about Jesus. I commend Russ on that work. He didn't know I was going to say all that stuff. But I commend Russ for that work. And you think about the fact, you know, we've talked some on Wednesday nights about technology, but one of the blessings of technology is we can reach people that we otherwise would never be able to cross paths with. Russ says this about his work: God gives the increase but expects us to plant the seeds and water. If we don't go, the gospel will not be spread. Where else can I sit in my house and make a difference for Jesus around the world? I get to go to places I would not be allowed to go and teach the Bible, such as China and Iran, or cannot afford to go. I try to be a good ambassador for Christ, regardless of how my students respond. People can see who Jesus is, what He taught, and move closer to Him. Two things that I enjoy about being a World English Institute teacher are answering Bible questions and learning about other cultures. Some students just review the lessons and take the test, but some enjoy talking about their lives and where they live. This is what makes it fun for me. Several have asked serious Bible questions, and I think I have encouraged and strengthened them by the grace of God. It is quite fulfilling to me to be a WEI English teacher. And while I'm briefly talking about Russ, I should also mention that Russ and Emma, over the past couple of summers, have also made summer trips to the City of Children's Home in Mexico, where they directly are doing good and serving the needs of others. Again, in a place sometimes associated with politics and controversy, but it's a place where Russ and Emma put themselves and say, we can do good on behalf of Christ and on behalf of Morristown Church of Christ. I'm briefly going to highlight a few other mission works among us, and it will pop up on the next screen. And again, these are things maybe they're so familiar to us we begin to take for granted. One of those is the Theological Institute of Latin America, or Latin American Theological Institute in Guatemala. I probably should have asked them. I don't know for how many years now we have been actively supporting this work. In addition, by the way, I'm not going to be mentioning a whole lot of other mission works that we do support financially, but I especially highlight Latin American Theological Institute because we as a congregation directly are involved with this work. On a regular basis, the Deans, the Dempsters, and the Montgomerys attend the annual lectureship there. Here recently, Brenda and Sherry have especially taught children's classes there, while John and Jim and Tom especially serve in a capacity as overseers and supporters of the work. I know some of us among here are actively and have in the past financially supported students and corresponded with them. And it's not just one of these things where you just give money to a big pool, but you specifically have a student and you say, I am supporting this student. Fairly regularly, Hiawatha Jones or Byron Benitez come and report on that work. I've been there once in the past to teach a short course for 1 week at the school. But I highlight this to say, this is something where people know our names and our faces, and they know we support them in their work. And I know they're always looking for more supporters and more workers to help them. Another work that now spans into the decades is Latin American missions. And David Wilbanks, how many years you've been? He says, he goes 20. It's probably 37. But David's been a participant with Latin American missions, obviously, for a long time. And a number of our people over the years have joined him. He especially goes on medical missions using his skills and his resources in special ways. David would love to tell you more about it if you're interested, but one thing I want to highlight, even though this goes back a little bit to 2018, one of the last things that Mark Coe and his family participated in before they moved to Georgia was Mark in Memphis went with David on one of these medical mission trips. And on a Sunday night, Mark spoke to us, and you all know I love Mark. But Mark's not the most emotional man you're ever going to meet. And Mark, you could tell that Mark had been touched by what he and Memphis encountered and the work that they did through Latin American missions. And one of the common threads in everything we've been talking about this morning is, yeah, we do these things to bless others, but for anybody who's a part of any kind of ministry, when you do it on behalf of the Lord, what you find out is you as the participant feel more blessed than those you are serving. Just quickly, a few other things. I want to highlight High Rock Bible Camp because, it's near and dear to my heart. And church camps, youth camps, Bible camps, whatever title you want to apply to them, I think are something that a lot of times just get taken for granted. And I know not just for me, but for a number of us in here this morning, we can testify to the fact that we wouldn't be the people we are today, and we wouldn't be where we are spiritually today. And for some people, they might not have the spouse that they have today if it weren't for church camp. The environment, the encouragement, the friendship, the connections you establish and keep throughout all of your life, but also you know this, that there are adults who care for you in ways, and by the way, know this about church camps. They aren't just for kids who've grown up in church. At High Rock Bible Camp, we have kids who come from some very disadvantaged situations. And for a week, they get removed from the reality of the world, and sometimes the pain and hurt that comes with it, and they find themselves in a special place that in my experience might be the closest taste of heaven on this earth. This past year, Leah DeCesar, Morgan Morris, and I served as counselors. Rich Hawkins has served as a counselor in the past. About 10 of our young people over the years have attended, and there's some more this coming year who've not yet attended, but I know that they're already excited about camp. But it's a labor of love. Yeah, there's fun, but you're exhausted when it's over. And for people, especially those of you who give up vacation time to serve in that capacity, that is a special sacrifice done for children and done on behalf of the Lord. Just a few other quick things, and we'll come to the conclusion of our lesson. All the things that we've talked about today don't include the approximately $7,000 that our church committed to benevolence this past year. Some years it has gone over $10,000. Also, between the clothing drive and the food pantry, we talk about the food pantry in the newsletter and how we need food. We're never able to tell you, by the way, we helped this family, we did this and we did that for obvious reasons. But in the past year, we have served over 100 families through these efforts. So please know that your contributions are not in vain. Our Helping Hands ministry, overseen by Jerry Barrett and Tim Thompson, usually help our own people with physical needs, maybe around their home and upkeep and things that need to be done. And I know Jerry especially is always welcoming and looking for more projects, so feel free to see him for that. One thing I don't have on the screen, but I should have included this, I like to pick on her, but you know, Pam Thompson does a special thing with banana bread. And so far, it hasn't killed anybody. And we're thankful for that. But I know this, it always produces a smile. And I have received many compliments on Pam's behalf for how delicious it is. But that just simple gesture. Pam probably says, oh, that's no big deal. It's a big deal, Pam. And all of these things we've talked about today are big deals. And this is not an exhaustive list pertaining to the works among us. But just consider for a moment, in the brief time we've spent together, we have literally talked about thousands. I'm not talking about dozens, I'm not talking about hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating. Thousands of people just in 1 year that we have reached through ongoing works taking place through Morristown Church of Christ in places near and very far. And I want to ask you, do you think that's no big deal? It's a really big deal. And you are to be commended for that. But most of all, God has been glorified through the ways that we are showing and telling our Lord and Savior who He is and what He's done for us. As we close our show and tell challenge for this week, you might be a little uncomfortable with this, but let me explain. I have up here, show and tell what the Lord has been doing through this church. Some people might say, well, that sounds like bragging. Well, guess what? You don't have to talk about what you've done. I don't have to talk about what I've done. If you're not a part of the Pillow Ministry, you can be telling people, you know what? We have this team of people, and in this past year, can you believe that they have made and delivered over 1,700 pillows because of Christ? And because they care about people. Do you know we have people who regularly go to Central and South America to serve the spiritual and physical needs of others? Do you know that we have a brother who every day is talking to people in places like Iran and China about Jesus? You think those things deserve to be put on display and told about to others? You better believe it. But it's not about us. It's about the Lord who is at work within us. This is not for our glory. This is for God's glory. Well, we've got to shine a light and let the whole world see what He's doing. And as we close, I want to read this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Because the reality is that when we do something on behalf of the Lord, as small and insignificant as we might think it is not in vain. And that's how Paul wraps up what we call 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Jesus would even say, even just a cup of water, if you do this as a disciple, you will by no means lose your reward. Don't overlook small things. Tabitha, Dorcas, it was the garments that she made and distributed to others. And in doing these good deeds, she was living out and demonstrating the gospel in her life. But there's another way in which the gospel was shown through Dorcas, and it was through her death. Verse 40 of Acts chapter 9. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. Because of the resurrection, every good deed and every good act that we do on behalf of the Lord, it doesn't just stop there. Its lasting influence goes throughout all of eternity. And through Tabitha's life, she demonstrated that. And in Tabitha's resurrection, we get a taste of seeing what it's like to dwell in a resurrected reality. And that's why we're together today. Because Jesus didn't stay in the grave, and we believe by faith that all of God's people won't either. And that Jesus is going to return to redeem us once and for all someday. This morning, if you're not a Christian, if you've not obeyed the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the fact that he came to this world to live for you, to die for you, but also to be raised from death to show that death does not have the final say. If you've not put him on in baptism, we hope you make that decision this morning. And for those of us who are Christians, if you need to be renewed, restored, comforted, prayed for in some way, we're here to receive you in any way. Whatever your need is, please come forward while we stand and sing.